sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my freedom, God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second hour of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us, as usual, in this second hour on Fridays is Pastor Chatfield. History lesson discussion. Today's topic, NATO, past, post-World War II. Go ahead, Mr. Right. Chatfield, sir.
North Atlantic Treaty Organization, founded, organized in 1949. And we could kind of see this coming. Patton could see it coming. General Patton could see it coming. That we were allies with the Soviet Union during World War II, but even before the end of World War II, we could see the Soviet Union was moving west into Eastern Europe. And although they gave promises of free and fair election, people that were let me put it this way, less naive didn't believe it, and they were right. There were no full and free elections in Eastern Europe following World War II. And so by 1949, the eastern part of Germany was under Soviet control, as was Poland, Czechoslovakia, Bulgaria, Romania, other nations of Eastern Europe. They fell under what became known as the Warsaw Pact. It was kind of a... Where these Eastern European countries maintained their official independence, but they were under the auspices of the Soviet Union, and you just would not cross the Soviet Union. So, in response to that, as the Warsaw Pact was forming, NATO was forming, and this was originally, as I understood it. There's a little wrinkle here that I just learned today. As I understood it, it was simply we're going to have this cooperative security arrangement between Western European nations and some nations in the Western Hemisphere that we're going to oppose the expansion of the Soviet Union and communism in Eastern Europe, and it was led by the United States. It's always been the United States. One of my arguments is NATO equals United States. NATO doesn't like that, but it's the way I see it. We have been the force behind NATO. President Trump now is trying to get NATO to hey, pull your own weight here. Oh, you don't want to pull your own weight. Well, maybe the United States, maybe we don't need NATO anymore. Hey, it's been in existence now for over 70 years. Maybe its time has run its course. Maybe it's time for Western Europe to stand on its own against Soviet expansion. Anytime the president talks like that, that's new talk since World War II. No president talks like that. I mean, he either says it or he implies it, and everybody is, whoa. They're treating NATO as if it's the Constitution. And I want to remind everybody, I think I said this last week, George Washington, our first president, he said it is the true policy of the United States to steer clear of any permanent alliance with any portion of the foreign world. We started off, you can call us isolationists, you can call us whatever you want to call it, America first. We got to concern ourselves with American security first. Maybe that will include, continue to include NATO. But I'm just, and I am not President Trump, and I trust President Trump's thinking and his advisors. And he makes a move, I'm supporting the president unless I have really good reason not to. I support the Constitution, and I support American independence, American sovereignty, and we'll talk about it after the break.
Sure, absolutely. He's been doing all kinds of things, shaking up our institutions. We're going to continue North Atlantic Treaty Organization with Pastor Sheffield. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Rainey for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Are you one of the many people that have always wanted to give to your favorite charity or non-for-profit such as your church, school, or local community, but believe that it's way out of your budget, a goal that you've always wanted to fulfill? Let me show you some strategies that would benefit you and your favorite charity. Call Laura today at Bogdan Insurance, 231-264-6890. Again, 231-264-6890. Serving Northern Michigan since 1998.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY, or call 800-654-9659.
At Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go, and you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
There's a reason for the sunshine sky, and there's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that love light shines all around us.
Hey everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment of our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield, North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
Okay, so originally founded, as I understood it, and I'll throw this wrinkle in here in a minute, but as a counterbalance to Soviet expansionism. The Soviet Union or communism, communists in general, they had a professed goal of taking over the world. I mean, Karl Marx said, workers of the world unite. You have nothing to lose but your chains. I mean, they were angling for a worldwide communist state. They said it openly. So, I mean, that's why we fought in Korea. What became known as the Truman Doctrine, which kind of goes along with NATO, was we will oppose the spread of communism anywhere in the world. Later, Vietnam, kind of an extension of the Truman Doctrine, where, you know, North Vietnam invading South Vietnam, and we're going to defend the South Vietnamese, and we know how that ended. Eventually, we tried to turn the war over to the South Vietnamese, and they couldn't handle it, and Vietnam became a communist nation, as it is to this day. North Korea was a little more successful, but Truman had to fire MacArthur, because MacArthur wanted to go into China and chase the Chinese and destroy them because they were helping the North Koreans, and eventually he got fired for it, came back to a hero's welcome in the United States, and Truman had very low popularity after he fired MacArthur. But this is all under the auspices of we're anti-communist. And sometimes it got out of hand. I will admit that. Joseph McCarthy, McCarthyism, I mean, the investigation of into, you know, the communists in the 1950s, that went overboard. It did. I mean, I finally watched that movie about the development of the nuclear weapon, Oppenheimer.
Oh, yeah.
And there were some bad spots. And, of course, you know, I will say they don't have to put any nudity in there. They could have done without it. But generally, it's like, you know, he was kind of a left-leaning guy, but he was anti-Nazi and he was pro-American, and but it's kind of interesting in that. But he got drawn up into that era in which anybody who ever didn't openly condemn communism eventually became suspect. And let me give everybody this, just tell you this about the 1950s, 60s, even into the 70s, even into the 80s, when I was in graduate school at Central Michigan University, it's where I got my master's degree in history. I mean, even then, there were people in the early to mid-80s that were somewhat apologists for the Soviet Union. And they were saying, hey, communism isn't as bad as what you think it is. I mean, it's not, I mean, you're believing that right-wing propaganda of how bad the communists are. It wasn't until after the Iron Curtain fell and the Soviet Union collapsed, and we got all the records and all the testimonies, all the people that were put in these gulags and sent north to Siberia, and all the massive executions of Stalin, that we find out that communism was indeed, as Ronald Reagan called it, an evil empire. When he said that, a lot of people said, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I remember my professor at Central Michigan University said that Reagan was criminally ignorant. He doesn't understand Russian history. I was taking Russian history. He doesn't understand. Well, as it turns out, Dr. Scheer, who was a good teacher, but boy, I questioned. In class, I questioned. I said, just because he calls him evil, you think that he's criminally ignorant? Yes, he's criminally ignorant. Okay. but now, I don't know if he's still alive, but Stephen Scheer, the teacher, he was a good teacher, but now everybody says the communists were evil. Now we all know it. We didn't know it so much back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So I'm digressing a little bit there. But we were anti-communist. And that was what NATO was about. Now, so NATO stood against Soviet expansion. But in 1989, the Iron Curtain fell. The Berlin Wall came down. The Soviet Union collapsed within a couple of years. And now do we need NATO? Now, everybody argues, yes, that we need NATO and we need to expand upon NATO. And NATO itself has expanded. More countries have joined. We're up to now 32 countries in NATO. Okay, fine. Good. I mean, we've got Poland has joined. The Czech Republic has joined. And so we've expanded. Okay, fine. 32 nations. Now the big question is, what are we going to do with the Ukraine? They want in. They want into NATO. Should NATO expand again? Okay, let me back this up a little bit. I think it was 1962. I'm just trying to give some context here, okay? Who did we find out was building missile silos in Cuba in 1962?
Russia.
Yeah, and what did we think of that? I mean, Cuba was an ally of the Soviet Union.
Sure.
They were, excuse me, an independent sovereign nation.
Sure. Okay? Yeah, right.
Okay? And they were, okay, whatever, you want to call it that. They were building or allowing the Soviet Union to build these missile silos. When we caught wind of it, what did John F. Kennedy do? He put a blockade around Cuba, says, nobody's coming in, nobody's coming out, you're going to dismantle these things. We're not going to have these missile silos 90 miles from America's border. This is a violation of the Monroe Doctrine. It's not happening. And so we went eyeball to eyeball with the Soviet Union, what became known as the Cuban Missile Crisis. In the end, what happened? The Soviet Union backed down, and they dismantled the missiles. Hey, let me ask you this. Upon what basis did we blockade that act of aggression against a sovereign nation, Cuba? Why did we do that? Why did John F. Kennedy?
Under the Monroe Doctrine, it was to stop communism spreading, and number two, it was national defense. It was national security. 90 miles off. I mean, that's less than, you know, half the distance from here to Lansing. I mean, that's not a long shot.
Okay, now I get this. I was just listening to somebody, General Keene, on Fox News this morning talk about the, and it's, boy, I'm glad with the president, Trump is handling this. Marco Rubio is handling this, their Secretary of State.
Yep.
Pete Hegseth. These guys are smart guys. They're smart guys. I'm glad they're handling it because I don't know exactly how to handle it. But I will just point this out. Here's what General Keene said. Hey, Putin invaded a sovereign nation, the Ukraine. My response, yes, they're a sovereign nation, but they've only been a sovereign nation for 30 years, and the Soviet Union never really recognized that. They certainly didn't endorse it. They kind of had to recognize it because they were falling apart. But this strong man, Putin, not a good guy, not a wonderful human being. He is a dictator, true enough, but he wants to go back. He wants to expand Russia to what it used to be. And at one time, the Ukraine was the, we're talking a long, centuries ago, was the cultural center of Russia. Before Moscow was, Kiev was. And he and many people in Russia still view it that way. Now, we talked about this a few weeks ago. I'm not saying that's correct. I'm not saying he did right. I'm saying that's his perspective.
Right.
And for NATO, for Ukraine to join NATO, that would be like Cuba joining the Warsaw Pact and then putting missile silos up in Cuba pointed at us. We would not like it. We did not like it. We would not tolerate it. Putin is not going to tolerate the Ukraine joining NATO. Well, we're going to stand for right and truth and freedom. Okay. All right. If we're prepared to go to war over this, are we?
Right. Hey, I got a question on that point. I got a text message just came in. Does NATO even still have an army? Do they even have any forces that can protect and do anything?
Yes. I mean, they're all contributed mostly by the United States, but every NATO country, contributes some men to their defense. That's true. We have in NATO, too, this is called Article 5 of NATO, which states that attack on one member is considered an attack on all, and that would trigger us to have to go to war. So if the Ukraine were to join, let's say that this peace negotiation that is going on, or is this starting now between Russia and Ukraine, let's say it's settled. Let's say it brings peace. Whatever the details of this are, boy, there are a lot of details that have to be worked out. Let's say it happens. Let's say the Ukraine joins NATO then. Then, if Russia ever does it again, we're going to war because we promised to by this Article 5. Are we ready to make that call? Are we ready to make that decision? That's the question.
Yeah. Well, and here's the problem. If he doesn't allow NATO to be expanded to protect Ukraine, then basically, you know, this could be a temporary deal until the next time Putin, you know, gets a bug up his butt, he could do it again. There's no guarantees. Isn't that what Zelensky's basically looking for?
True, and he's right. There are no guarantees. There's no guarantees in life. There's no guarantees in life. That reminds me of what Trump at that press conference, who was on live TV, would say, oh, is there a guarantee that this and that will happen? And Trump says, is there a guarantee that a bomb isn't going to hit us right now? There are no guarantees here.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember making that statement? There are no guarantees here.
Yeah.
President Trump just said, look, I'm trying to stop the war. And you got to take a long look at this. Trying to take a long look at this. Let me point this out, too. In 1956, the Soviet Union invaded Hungary when they were starting to show some signs. I mean, they were a Warsaw Pact country, and they were, in the Soviet Union's opinion, showing too much signs of independence. The Soviet Union invaded Hungary, a sovereign nation. What was the American response? What did we do about that? Did we start shipping massive amounts of military equipment to aid the Hungarians? Answer, no. Were there Hungarians that thought that we would help them? Yes. Did we help them? No. Why didn't Eisenhower help them? He didn't want to go to nuclear war over Hungary. And he said, well, he didn't stand for truth and right and freedom. Whatever. Again, 1968 in August, Soviet Union invaded Czechoslovakia because they were getting too liberal. And I mean liberal, I don't mean bad liberal. I mean they were liberalizing their laws. They were having more openness, talking about elections. And it was called the Prague Spring. And what happened? The Soviet Union invaded them, brought tanks, and killed a lot of people. And we did what? We protested a little bit, but we did not invade. We did not send billions of dollars to them. We didn't do that. So when Russia now invades Ukraine, we have helped them. Now, it is different, obviously, because Ukraine was an independent country, but I'm arguing that in 68, Czechoslovakia was an independent country, and in 56, Hungary was an independent country. We didn't do anything. Where's all the historians now telling us, hey, we didn't come to their defense now. Why are we coming to the defense on Ukraine? Now, just let me be fully honest with you here. When Russia invaded Ukraine, I asked myself, and I think we talked about it, should we help Ukraine? The invasion of Ukraine was an act of naked aggression by the Russians. I'm not disputing that. I'm just questioning what should our response be. And it is a hard call. It's a hard call.
My question, what national security interest do we have there? Why do we have to protect it?
Okay.
Why did the Democrats send the money and why did they send the military weaponry and all the things that we've done? Donald Trump's not in favor of it. And my question is, why did we do it?
We'll talk about it.
Yes, absolutely. Bottom of the hour break. We'll be right back.
Michigan News Source. Brought to you this hour by Wolverine Water Systems.